Grace to you all and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There are moments in life, turning points, experiences that change us. These are the moments in which we become something more than we were before. I remember when I was like 10 or 12 years old taking string bass lessons from a lovely man who played in the Minnesota Orchestra. And one day as we were leaving, he's really good with kids, even annoying ones, as you'll see in a moment. One day as we were leaving, he asked me, what's that book you're carrying? And it was The Hobbit. He knew it, of course, and he said, I wish I could meet a nice Hobbit woman that I could eat with and make music with and dance with and eat with. And I was so excited to be talking to an adult about my interests. I hadn't had much practice, and so I responded clumsily, oh, they'd never marry you. Your feet are too hairy even for a hobbit. And then I trundled off to our car, pleased to have had another successful interaction with a human being. When the doors closed, my mother turned to me and said, that was not a very nice joke. I know you were trying to have fun with him, but for future reference, it would be better if you go the other way and say something like, you're much too worldly and sophisticated for a hobbit. That's all she said, and it was enough. I suffered the whole ride home, worrying about poor old Mr. Clute in his house, deeply wounded by the words of me, an insensitive, big-mouthed child. A child so utterly different from the pure angels who roam the halls of Mount Olivet. And that night, as I lay falling asleep, I struggled with what I had said. It hurt to be confronted by who I was. That's such a small moment, right? Unremarkable. Why does it even deserve to be remembered? Maybe you have a moment like that in your life, something small and unremarkable that nevertheless stuck with you and changed you. Or maybe the moments have been so small you don't even remember them, but they changed you all the same. You've certainly had big moments. Marriage, birth of a child, death of a loved one, diagnosis, the first day of a new job, the last day of an old one. These are all common examples. And our man Jacob, he had big moments, and they were by no means common. He dreamed of angels, and as we heard this morning, he wrestled with God. In our scripture, we were treated to the most remarkable scene in the life of Jacob, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, the father of Joseph, giver of amazing technicolor dream coats. Jacob has been carrying something heavy for a long time. For more than 20 years before our story, he's been burdened by guilt and worry since he stole his father's blessing, the birthright of his older brother Esau. I wouldn't be surprised if he thought about it every day and cringed. Every time someone called him by his name, in fact. You see, Jacob has a few meanings, and none of them are great. Heel, like the back of a foot, or the bad guy in professional wrestling. Follow, or trail behind. And worst of all, in Jacob's case, it means usurper, supplanter, thief. That is who Jacob is. That is what Jacob has done. He came out of the womb clinging to the heel of his big twin Esau. He followed him through life, and at the opportune moment, he stole his rightful place in the family for himself. And for 20 years, he's been living in exile, bearing the awful weight of that past. But now he's headed home with a big family, considerable wealth, and almost no hope for a warm welcome. On the last night, before he expects to finally see his long-lost brother again, Jacob sends his company over the river, and he hangs back. No children, no animals. Jacob was left alone in the quiet, in the dark, a moment's peace. And you parents know what happens when you start to enjoy a moment's peace. Suddenly, with no explanation, Jacob is caught up in a wrestling match with a mysterious stranger. Spoiler alert, this is God. Neither can get the better of the other, and they brawl all through the night to the edge of daybreak. The stranger demands that Jacob release him, but Jacob refuses, so the man, God, strikes him on the hip and badly injures him. Jacob walks with a limp after. I've read some commentaries suggest that this was a classic low blow of the below the belt variety, but I'll leave that to the Hebrew scholars. Still, Jacob won't let go, not without a blessing. And so God asks, "What's your name?" This is not curiosity. God is soliciting Jacob's confession. The real question behind the question is, "Who are you?" And Jacob is compelled to answer, "I am Jacob, the heel, the thief, the usurper." He's forced to reckon with what he has done, to confront who he is and has been. And in response to that painful truth, God speaks another truth, a new reality. Yes, you are Jacob, but now I give you a new name, Israel, one who has wrestled with God. You were the supplanter, the overthrower. Now you are the overcomer. Looking ahead in Jacob's story, the shallow, grasping youth becomes the father of nations. The one who hoarded the blessings for himself now shares them with families over the face of the earth, even passing it on to Pharaoh, mighty Pharaoh. What names have you felt hanging around your neck? The lonely one? The thoughtless? The ashamed? This story reminds us that no matter how true those names might be, God has a new and greater and truer name for you: beloved, forgiven, blessed. No matter how deep the guilt or dark the night, we can cling to the promise of dawn, that God will stay with us till morning's light, even if sometimes it feels like we're hanging on for dear life. Amen.